I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Being a celebrity, being an NBA player, don't exclude me from no conversation at all. First and foremost, I'm a black man, and I'm a member of this community. And I grew up on this soil, so I want to say that first and foremost, but it's a peaceful protest. We walking, and that's it. Raising awareness. Some of the injustice that we've been seeing is not okay. And as a young person, you gotta listen to our perspective. Our voices need to be heard. I'm 23 years old. I don't know all the answers, but I feel how everybody else is feeling, for sure.
No peace.
No question.
All right, that was Jaylen Brown over the weekend in Atlanta on Saturday. Drove from Boston to Atlanta to participate in a peaceful protest. Unfortunately, the peaceful protests have no longer become the story. The people out there that are trying to get a good message across, that's no longer the number one story on the news right now. What has taken over is the rioters, the looters, the people breaking into stores all over the country and now here locally in Boston. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. WEEI Late Night, the number 617-779-7937. The Braintree Police Department just released this tweet about an hour ago. Due to social media posts planning to loot the South Shore Plaza, a heavy police presence was shown today and will continue this evening. The mall is now closed. Anyone on the property without legitimate reason will be asked to leave and possible trespass. Do not come down here. By the way, if you've been on Twitter over the past couple hours, you saw the Nike store in New York. Absolutely crazy right there. Getting looted. It looks like a scene out of a movie. People just running into the store and taking whatever Nike gear they'd like to take. And then it brings me to this. What happened last night with the riots here locally? So watching it, everything on the news last night obviously was completely disturbing. I'm sure a lot of you were glued to your television because everything that was going on here locally. And on Friday and on Saturday night, we were watching across the country, certain areas of the country where there was looting and there was rioting and there was police cars getting lit on fire, people coming in and out of stores with stuff. But last night it was here. And yes, you had some issues here locally where you had some arrests and some police officers that were injured, but nothing compared to what we saw last night. And I understand the majority of the protests are peaceful and those protests are meant to get a message across. But the problem right now is this. The looters out there, the rioters that are lighting police cars on fire, like the cruiser that was lit on fire last night here in Boston in the Boston Common, those individuals have completely hijacked the attention away from the message that the peaceful protesters were trying to get across. I saw last night, by the way, on Twitter, LeBron James quote tweeted a tweet from the Colorado Times reporter that said, quote, "Incredible scene at Colorado Capitol right now. Thousands of protesters are lying face down with their hands behind their backs chanting, 'I can't breathe.' They're doing this for 9 minutes. Hashtag CO politics, Colorado politics. Hashtag Denver Post. Hashtag George Floyd." Incredible protest that was going on in Colorado yesterday. If you saw it on Twitter, it was amazing to see all the people coming together, right? But LeBron James quote tweets this and he says, quote, "Is the media showing this? I bet they're not. You know why? Because this is unity, peaceful, beautiful, and love." Okay, so first of all, I don't understand why LeBron's saying the media isn't showing this when he's literally quote tweeting a media outlet. Not to mention, you had local stations in Denver responding to this as well, that they showed the video. You had national outlets across the country that showed this as well. So again, I don't understand why LeBron is saying the media isn't showing this when it's an actual media account that's tweeting this out. But nonetheless, I do understand what his overwhelming point is. So his overwhelming point, he's trying to say that most of the protests are good and peaceful, yet all we're seeing on the news is the bad stuff, the bad actors, etc. But that's the problem. When the criminal acts are taking place and businesses are getting their windows crashed in, not just here locally, but all over the country, when businesses who are already struggling, they're getting broken down, they're getting broken into, and they're having merchandise stolen, when police cruisers are set on fire, that's going to be the major story, that businesses are getting broken into, people are getting assaulted, and you have police cars that are just getting lit on fire right now. That is going to become the main story, right? So what's happened is you're supposed to have these protesters that, like Jaylen Brown, like we saw Enes Kanter out there the other day. We saw Malcolm Brogdon with Jaylen Brown. They're trying to get a message out there, like the peaceful protest that we saw in Colorado, where LeBron is referencing all those people coming together. That's the message that everybody wants to get out there, at least the good protesters, but nonetheless, or the peaceful protesters, I should say. But nonetheless, their opportunity is being stolen by these bad actors and these bad groups of protesters that are turning into rioters. And if you disagree with me, here's what George Floyd's brother said today. He was on Good Morning America. And if you missed the interview, I suggest that, I know a lot of you that are listening to WEI, a sports station, you ordinarily don't watch Good Morning America. I did not see the interview live, but I went back and watched it because I saw he was going to be on the show, and I went on social media and I was able to watch it. But he said this. This is Terrence Floyd, the brother of George Floyd. Quote, he would want us to seek justice the way we are, the way we're trying to do, but channel it in another way. Ripping up, damaging your hometown is not the way that he'd want. Now, Robin Roberts asked Terrence Floyd if he was concerned that some of the violence is taking away from the call for justice. He said, yes, I do. I feel like it's overshadowing what's going on. He was about peace. He was about unity. The things that's transpiring now, they may call it unity, but it's destructive unity. It is not what he was about. That's not what my brother was about. He then went on and referenced that his brother was a gentle giant. So this isn't me telling you that these individuals breaking into stores and stealing things and destroying property and those individuals that are lighting things on fire, those things are taken away from what the message should be. So it's not me telling you this. This is actually George Floyd's brother on Good Morning America this morning telling you that what the looters are doing, what the rioters are doing, that is taking away from the message that his brother would want to get out there. So I understand LeBron James's frustration for how these peaceful protests are getting overshadowed, but you have criminal acts that are going to get way more attention because what they are right now is they are dangerous. They are completely dangerous. And last night, watching that on television, what was going on here locally in our city made my jaw drop. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I guess I should have known, considering what we were watching all over the country for the past couple of days. And then when we saw what happened last night, maybe I shouldn't have been as shocked, but it's just amazing to see it now happening in this city. Now, what happened to George Floyd obviously was sickening. And you have groups of protesters that are trying to honor him and trying to promote change. And you have athletes all over the country trying to do the same. But the problem is this. Now, even more people are suffering and more people are having their lives altered and affected. And I would ask this, do these local business owners deserve what's going on right now? They're trying to make a living. They're trying to survive in this coronavirus pandemic world, if you will. And now they have to not only worry about their stores, but they have to worry about the safety of themselves going out there. Think about that. You are a business owner and you have been basically not able to do anything for a number of months now, close to 3 months. You had to close down. You're struggling financially to begin with. And now if you want to go to your store and make sure that it's not getting broken into, make sure that it's not getting looted, what do you have to do? You have to worry for your own safety. You have to worry for your own safety right now after already sacrificing all this time for what you thought was the greater good, right? That's what this whole thing was about. This whole situation with the coronavirus pandemic, social distancing, wearing a mask, and all this stuff, not doing pretty much anything, all these things being canceled, weddings, graduations, all this stuff, right? And now, as you did that, and you took a step back because what we're told is, hey, we're going to narrow the curve So when you get back to your business, you're going to be able to go back there and you're going to be able to go back to work for good. Well, now guess what? Now your business may not be there because you got looters and you got rioters in the city. Just think about what happened in Boston last night. 7 police officers injured. 18 bystanders were transported to the hospital. 53 arrests made, 27 people from Boston, 24 from outside the city. Now, Boston.com did a great job of talking to local business owners regarding the damage done, and they kind of came up with a list of everybody, and they keep updating the list in terms of the businesses that were damaged here locally. Clarendon Wine Company on Boylston Street, half the liquor store's inventory was gone, and the looters destroyed computers. What is stealing liquor, and what does destroying computers do to promote a message or open up a conversation about social injustice? Again, I come back to the fact that the rioters, the looters, are hijacking the message that people are trying to get out there. Dartmouth Street Vision Center. Okay, think about that. Dartmouth Street Vision Center, a vision center, had sunglasses, had glasses, tablets, and computers taken. Okay, what is taking sunglasses and glasses doing to help honor George Floyd's death? What is that doing to try to fix some of the issues that you have in some of these police departments across the country? Seriously, I'm asking a real question. I don't know what that really accomplishes. Frenchie, damaged windows and their sign was destroyed, will cost between $5,000 to $10,000 to fix. Skylight Jewelers, this is via Boston.com. Ed Spencer, the owner, all the outside windows, huge windows, all smashed. They came in and they smashed everything, he said. All the showcases are smashed. People were coming in, going out, they were stealing stuff. Adidas on Boylston Street, shattered doors and windows. Saks Fifth Avenue, property damage, looting. Steve Madden, door shattered, looting. Okay, and then Neil Patel, who owns a smoke shop. It's called City Smoke Shop. It's on Newberry Street. He had this to say on the news last night. Channel 7 had it. I'm protecting my business, and they robbed us after being closed for 3 months. This is not anything you should be doing. This is not right. And oh, by the way, we have that audio from Neil Patel.
I'm protecting my business, and they robbed us after us being closed for 3 months. This is not anything you should be doing. This is not right. What are you trying to protect the cause? This is an excuse, nothing else. You're making an excuse. We got robbed. We're a small business. We can't even pay rent.
That's just gut-wrenching to hear that. Neil Patel, that was him. He owns City Smoke Shop on Newberry Street. He says he pays $50,000 a month on Newberry Street for rent. He, as you heard there, said this is an excuse. Nothing else. You're making an excuse. We got robbed. You could hear that in his voice. You could hear how he was hurting last night. This is a guy that mentioned the fact that he has been closed for 3 months, been closed for 3 months because of everything that has been going on with the coronavirus pandemic. And he's telling you how his business is hurting and what is his reward for the greater good, trying to sacrifice because of the coronavirus pandemic. He wanted to come back to his business eventually to run his business again. What does he get in return? Rioters and looters that have taken advantage of what's going on in the country right now to break into his store. Think about what that guy's going through right now. Unbelievable. By the way, to branch out across the country, did you see what happened to the woman in Rochester? Unbelievable. She confronted a mob of looters outside of a store. Okay. There were about 6 individuals. If you haven't seen this on the internet, I suggest you should look it up. Okay. There were about 6 individuals, some holding large planks of wood. One threw a ladder at the door of the business, and then she is punched in the face. I'm talking about an older woman punched in the face. She was thrown against the building. She was hit with those planks of wood. The couple, by the way, her husband then came rushing out because he saw what was going on. They own a place called Rochester Fire Equipment Company, and she lives upstairs. So the couple actually lives upstairs from their business. Okay, they live upstairs from their business, and they're just trying to stand in front of their business to make sure that nobody breaks into it. And what happens? She's hit with wood planks, and she's punched. A woman is punched by a group of young men. Okay, and oh, by the way, her husband comes out and they start beating on him as well. What did they do to deserve that? All they were trying to do is to make sure the business that they own wasn't damaged. And oh, by the way, they live there as well. That's their home. They live up top from their business. And they wanted to make sure, okay, I want to make sure my home is safe, but But secondarily, I want to make sure my business is safe. And what happens to this woman? She is punched in the face. It's unbelievable. And it's not just, because obviously this is a major part of it, it's not just the economic damage that is going to get done to her place of work, but it's the mental scars of that. That's where you live. That's always going to be in the back of your mind now, what happened on that particular day. That's what happens when you get assaulted like that. That's something that people are underestimating, what happens in terms of the mental aspect of this. When you get assaulted, when somebody breaks into your place of work, when you're trying to hold them off, and I give them credit for trying to hold their ground, but to do that and then get assaulted, nobody deserves that. I understand that there are good protests going on all over the country right now, but the people that have hijacked the moment, it just has to stop. It's absolutely ridiculous right now what innocent people all over the country are going through, and all this because of the death of George Floyd. How is that honoring George Floyd's death? That's the troubling part to me right now. That is the real troubling part to me. And I can tell you some of this stuff that's going on from a mental perspective. I've been through traumatic events, not like this, but I've been held up at gunpoint and robbed. That's something that it doesn't get out of your head. So this woman who owns this store, who got hit by wood planks, who, oh, by the way, got punched by a young man, that's never going to leave her. That's going to be in the back of her head. That's something that weighs on you mentally for years. I mean, I'm a young guy, reasonably, that got held up at gunpoint. I still have nightmares about that event. What do you think is going to happen to this woman when she's trying to go back to work? Not to mention she lives there. She got hit with a wooden plank and punched at her residence and her place of work. Okay, by the way, you had a man in Columbia who called a police group, Columbia, South Carolina, I should say, who called the police on a group that was attacking his workplace. He was punched in the face and then kicked. You can see how many people were around him. Have you seen the video of the police officer last night here in Boston? Unbelievable. His car was surrounded. His car was rocked back and forth, and protesters jumped on his car. I don't know how he was able to keep his control last night. I would have been completely freaked out. It's not like he can do much because his car is surrounded. He's by himself. But think about how crazy that must have been. By the way, we saw the police cars that were set on fire. And so when I see the Twitter complaints and the social media complaints about the peaceful protests not being shown enough, I understand the frustration. But the problem is the bad actors involved in all these situations, they've become too big of a story. They've stolen the news from you. When you have a woman punched in the face by a young man, then hit with planks of wood, when you have cities being lit on fire, those are becoming the major stories. When you have last night firecrackers being lit on fire like crazy here locally, that's going to become the story. I feel bad right now for the protesters that are trying to get a good message out there. The Jaylen Browns of the world who led a group in Atlanta. We saw Enes Kanter out there in Boston last night, or yesterday, I should say. But now you have business owners that are fearing for their lives because people are breaking into their stores. And I'm not even just talking about their economic lives. I'm just not talking about, oh, is my business going to survive? Because we're already going through a pandemic in this country. I'm not even just talking about that. Now I'm talking about the fact, is my business going to be broken into? And secondarily, if I do go to my business, am I going to be threatened? Am I going to put my life in danger right now? That's what we're going through in this city right now. It's incredible to see everything that's going on, not only just around the country, but what happened here locally last night. It is scary. It is scary. And I understand why you have people that are doing great work across the country right now and peaceful protests, because there is a reason to protest. Clearly, there is a reason to protest. Clearly, the system in certain places is broken. In Minneapolis, what happened? The fact that you had a police officer that had 18 complaints against him, and twice during that time, he was reprimanded. The fact that that guy still had a badge. The fact that you had three police officers around Derek Chauvin when he had his knee on George Floyd's neck and wouldn't allow him to get up to the point where his body was limp. The fact that nobody stopped him. The fact that he was able to do that. Clearly, the system is broken when that guy still has a badge. There are changes that need to be made, and there are protests that should be being made across the country right now, and they are, and the majority of them are peaceful. But the problem right now is we have people that are completely hijacking the moment, and even George Floyd's brother, Terrence Floyd, said that today on Good Morning America. This is not the way that his brother would want to be honored. That's the troubling part to me right now, is to see all the damage that's being done across the country, and not even to mention the fact we're in the middle of a pandemic. For 3 months, we have not been doing anything really, right? Maybe you go to your place of work if you are considered to be an essential worker. Okay. You go to the grocery store, you put a mask on. You basically can't go anywhere else. And basically it's frowned upon if you go anywhere and you don't have your mask on right now, right? So you think about what's happening from that perspective. And now you think about protests all over the country right now. All over the, and I get it. You need to protest what's going on. But think about what we've been doing for the past 3 months. And now think about what our future could look like in the next couple of months. It's really, really troublesome. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight, WEI late night. If you want to weigh in on everything that's going on, not only in the country right now, but locally. And I ask the question, are the rioters completely hijacking the moment and hijacking the message that the peaceful protesters are trying to get out there? Certainly welcome to weigh in. Let's start off with Ken. He's in Connecticut tonight. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Good.
Good, good, good. The one thing I wanted to say, coming from the last show and Echo Bayou going so far, that, you know, this is one thing that definitely needs to be kept being talked about, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have a platform. It needs to be talked about all the way up through, you know, from the highest ranks all the way down to the people that have called in today that are, you know, on the street. You know, even Curtis and Wiggy, too, were saying that. Until everyone is talking about it, it is not going to be, you know, front and foremost.
You know Ken, that's a really good point. And it's unfortunate that it's taken us to this point to have this conversation further. It's unfortunate.
Right, and now it's so screwed up, right?
Exactly. That's the unfortunate part out of all this. And now we're dealing with a situation where you have business owners that are fearful for their own safety, and then also for the safety of their businesses after we saw. And I gave you a list, and that's not even the whole list. Boston.com, if you go on Boston.com, you can see the list of all the businesses that have been damaged over the past 24 to 36 hours or so. Go to that list and see all these people that are now dealing with their businesses being really, really affected by this. All right, if you want to weigh in on everything that's been going on, not only in this state, but across the country right now, certainly welcome to do so. Are these rioters and looters taking away from the message that the peaceful protesters are trying to get out there? The number is 617-779-7937. We'll get you a trending in just a second here on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. We're still waiting for a resolution in Major League Baseball. The Players Association delivered a return to play proposal that called for 114 games with an end date of October 31st, a playoff expansion for 2 years, and a potential deferral of all 2020 salaries if the postseason were to be canceled. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports the owners have countered with a 50-game season with full prorated salaries. So let me get this. The players are proposing 114 games, and the owners are proposing 50 games. Seems like they're really, really close to a deal here. I say that facetiously if you didn't get my tone. The NBA, by the way, may actually be getting closer to a return. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski says the league is planning a Thursday vote of the league's board of governors in which owners are expected to approve Adam Silver's recommendation on a formula to restart the season in Orlando, Florida. The NBA needs 3/4 of the owners to approve the return to play. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
WEI 93.7 FM.
We got robbed like it was a war zone. Every single store, if you look at Newberry, every single store got hit. We're here, we're struggling just like you guys are. We're here fighting for the cause just like you guys are. But don't hurt your own people. I'm here fighting for my life, fighting for my business, because my business is my life. We're not enemies. We are brothers and sisters and family members. We're all together.
All right, that's Neil Patel. He owns City Smoke Shop on Newberry Street. You could hear it right there in his voice. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. It's people like this that are getting hurt by what's going on with the riots and with looters. People like Neil Patel, who owns City Smoke Shop, who hasn't been able to open his business up for months because of everything going on with the coronavirus pandemic. And then last night, he is to see people breaking into his store. Breaking into his store after what he was trying to do to help everybody else, not only in the state, but across the country, by listening to what the federal government said and listening to what the local government said. He had no choice. He had to shut down his store. And then he was told, hey, when you open back up, you're going to be able to open up for good. Well, he pays $50,000 in rent, and right now he can't pay for rent. And then he looks at his store, and it's broken into. Unbelievable. The people that are suffering because of everything that has transpired over the past couple of days. And I don't want to miss out on the bigger issue here in terms of or how this all started with what happened with George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, the police officer who put his knee into the back of George Floyd's neck and wouldn't get off him, even when an officer around him told him, maybe we should turn him over. And I'm not saying that that guy deserves credit, because all the police around Derek Chauvin deserve punishment as well. Unacceptable that nobody stopped when you could clearly tell that his body went limp. Nobody stopped. Nobody prevented this from happening. A tragedy that continues to happen over and over on the country, over and over in this country. But now to see all the additional damage that's being done, not just locally here in Massachusetts, but all over the country to people that are innocent. What did Neil Patel do to deserve what happened to his place of business? All over the state, or I should say all over the city last night, businesses are getting damaged. What did those people do to deserve this? 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Doug. He's in Rhode Island tonight. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, how you doing? Good. Unfortunately, this is never going to end until we figure out this is not about the victim. It's about the perpetrator every time. The victim gets lost in the shuffle, you know, and everybody likes to. If I had the fame and fortune and influence that Colin Kaepernick has, I wouldn't kneel down during the national anthem. I would lift George Floyd up into the national anthem and make him finally the person who makes a difference. But no, it's always about the perpetrator. And I mean, and like, you know, like any aspect, it becomes an incredible political tool. It's the mayors who elect the police chiefs. Yet, like, we just had an ad for an insurance company that said, okay, first we'll assess your present situation. Then we'll take this and we'll do that. If I was Colin Kaepernick, I would have been on the first plane down to Michigan with my influence and money and started something positive, started talking with politicians and police and the black community, and started saying, hey, you know what? You want a solution? We'd all like to see the plan, the old Lenin line. But it's like it's not going to, because poor George Floyd, like everyone else, is going to get lost in the shuffle. And the only thing politicians regret right now is a gun wasn't involved, so we could throw out the gun control thing and then watch that go away in 2 weeks. It is. It's awful. But it's always just a tool to create some kind of upheaval. That's what I truly believe.
Doug, I appreciate the phone call. I agree with the sentiment that everything in this country is now used as some sort of political vehicle. I do agree with you when it comes to that. Bringing up Colin Kaepernick in this particular situation, it has nothing to do with what happened to George Floyd. And to blame Colin Kaepernick for the way that he approached what he was trying to stand up for all these years and still is trying to stand up for all these years, I don't think he really put this situation on. And I'm not saying that you're blaming Colin Kaepernick. I'm just saying I don't think Colin Kaepernick has a whole lot to do with what is currently going on in the country. And when you look at what happened when it pertains to George Floyd's life and Derek Chauvin, those are the people that need to be held accountable. And those are the people that need to be punished for what happened. And Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder, and we'll see what ends up happening in the court of law. He will have his day in court. And I just feel as if that's getting lost in the shuffle now, because of everything else that's going on in the country and what has happened since the death of George Floyd, that is getting lost, that George Floyd's life is getting lost. And you heard his brother, or at least I told you what his brother Terrence Floyd said today on Good Morning America, that he feels as if this moment is getting hijacked by the looters and the rioters. And I just ask this, a business owner like Neil Patel, locally here in Boston, what did he do to deserve this? What did he do to deserve his store getting broken into? And how does that start progress, right? How does that start a longer conversation, a more in-depth conversation of everything going on in the country right now? By damaging another person's business who has nothing to do with this whatsoever? How is that helping anybody right now? Seriously, how is that helping anybody? 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you, WEI Late Night. I'm with you until midnight. Let's get to Rick. He's on the Cape. What's up, Rick?
How you doing?
Good.
So let me just address the last caller real quick on Kaepernick. Like you said, you kind of both hit on different points, but I think you said he was blaming Kaepernick. I'm not sure if he was, but then you said Kaepernick had nothing to do with this. I think Kaepernick had everything to do with this because he was trying to, make a voice of this way back when, seems like now, and he was hijacked. His message was hijacked. So anyway, I'll leave that. But what prompted me to call
Rick, what I'm saying is that maybe the blame was the wrong word, but what Colin Kaepernick was doing was trying to bring awareness to the situation. And basically what happened to Colin Kaepernick is he was just criticized for trying to, the way that he went about it, he was just criticized for what he was doing. And then instead of listening to the message about police brutality, et cetera, it kind of got away from that and it just became about Colin Kaepernick disrespecting the flag.
That's what I mean. His message was hijacked.
Oh, okay. So we agree. Okay.
Yeah, we agree. His message was hijacked by you know who. But anyway, what prompted me to call was I thought you were kind of losing sight. I agree with you 100%. Looting and the rioting and the property damage and assaulting people are 100% obviously wrong to any sane person, and nobody needs that. Mm-hmm. Mr. Patel doesn't need that. But I thought you're kind of hijacking the message too. You keep going back to it and saying this is where it all started with Mr. Floyd. But you kind of, I kind of feel like you're hijacking the original message of what prompted this and it was a reaction. But again, because like you keep saying too, the majority of the protests are not what, the looters are doing. It's a small percentage of those people.
Right, Rick.
My whole point
is when I see a woman from Rochester in front of her home and her business being assaulted, I don't know how that's something that we don't talk about.
No, I agree. We have to talk about it. And I said those things are all wrong and people being assaulted. And like you said, she's going to have, a lot of traumatic memories of that for the rest of her life. But just let me say, I have two daughters, 20 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
And what's burned into their memory for the rest of their life is George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery's murder on video.
Yeah.
That's going to be traumatic for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rick, you're a retired police officer?
I am.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think it took so... Well, it took what? From Monday was the day that the murder occurred, and I know he's got to have his day in court and all that, but then it took until Friday for the arrest. Why do you think it took so long?
I don't think it took that long. I mean, these things take time. You don't want to, it wasn't a crime like, it was a police officer in the course of his duty. So it takes a bit more time. It wasn't just some random citizen committing a crime where you have probable cause, you arrest them, and then you go through the motions. You have to, he was performing a duty, so you have to act and investigate whether that a crime committed during his course of duty, right? So
mm-hmm. Yeah, Rick,
it wasn't
a
long time.
Yeah, I just thought because the entire country saw the video, saying?
Well, yeah, I know. Video is video, and you see what you see. But I think we all know what we saw. But even in that case, it would take a few days to go through the motions. So I think all in all, it went pretty quick. If it went a week or two or something like that, then that's a little much. But a few days, I think, is normal for that sort of thing.
Fair enough. Hey, Rick, I appreciate the phone call. That was really insightful. I enjoyed the back and forth in the conversation. That was a really great phone call. The number is 617-779-7937. Now, one thing that I want to touch on just going forward here is when you think about some of the stuff that Rick brought up there, and as it pertains to the investigation, I do believe that the fact that it went from Monday to Friday, I understand what Rick's saying, that sometimes these things take time. But the one thing that I would say is it feels like, from my perspective, that kind of added fuel to the fire in terms of the anger, that we all saw this video across the country. We all saw the video, right? And then it takes until Friday for the arrest of Derek Chauvin to be made. So that certainly added another level to everything that was going on there, because people were thinking to themselves, how is this guy not arrested yet? How is this police officer not arrested yet? So it certainly added to it. And then when the original autopsy report comes out and they reference George Floyd's health and his coronary artery disease and the fact that he may have had intoxicants in his body, that's something that clearly then pissed off people even more, because, okay, maybe if this guy was a world-class athlete, right? Maybe if he was a member of the Patriots or a member of the Celtics or a member of the Red Sox, he's a great athlete, right? I'm not looking at any sports. I'm just talking about the pillar of health, right? Maybe he would have survived this. But the reality of the situation is Derek Chauvin murdered the guy. Murdered the guy. Okay, that's how he died. And I know that today two more autopsy reports came out, and both came up with homicide. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, that those are two things that I think infuriated people even more. The autopsy report and the fact that it took so long for the arrest to be made. Let's get to Austin in Revere. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking the call, man. I called you the other day. We talked a little bit about this issue that's been happening all week. But to your point about, first, I wanted to respond to the caller who was talking about Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And kind of laying some blame at Colin Kaepernick's feet somehow.
I don't know if that's what he meant, Austin, in defense of him, but it kind of came across that way. I don't know if he meant that.
Well, I think from my point of view, I think I should maybe educate some people out there that might have some sort of a misnomer or some sort of a misinformed opinion about Colin Kaepernick. But for starters, Colin Kaepernick's message was exactly what we're seeing today and with the message that everyone out there is protesting against. Okay, it was exactly what the message that's being out there today in the protests was: police brutality and systematic racism with police. Mm-hmm. And that's a really difficult conversation that Colin Kaepernick was really trying to have several years ago.
And Austin, to your point, he did it peacefully. He didn't hurt anybody, and now he hasn't been in the NFL for 3.5 years.
Correct. He kneeled. Mm-hmm. He nailed it. People weren't okay with it. People weren't comfortable with it. People didn't like it. And I think people used some sort of fake outrage, fake patriotism to try to sideline Colin Kaepernick and what he was trying to say. And in regards to what the caller said, that Colin Kaepernick isn't doing anything, and I actually hear this quite a bit when I hear people talk about Kaepernick and have a negative opinion of Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick has been a very active activist since he's been out of the NFL. He started the Know Your Rights Camp, which is a grassroots organization that he started and founded, that he has invested his own money into, where he is educating people of color, minorities, about how to know your rights and how to protect yourself and your communities when faced with these types of situations of police brutality that people of color routinely have to deal with. So it's just completely false that Colin Kaepernick was, you know, trying to get attention or trying to bring some sort of fake attention to an issue that didn't exist. Clearly it did exist. And clearly, to the last caller's point, or to your point in response to the last caller, in terms of why this took so long for that police officer to be arrested, we all know what we saw on that videotape. We saw it. The legal standard for an arrest is probable cause. And there was more than probable cause on that videotape watching that man be, you know, murdered over the course of 8 minutes. So yeah. That is part of the outrage.
I think the other part is, you wouldn't have had all these people at that police officer's house to begin with. You would have just had them arrested, and you wouldn't have had even more issues within the city, which I think it caused and it fired up even more people. And I'm with you. And I understand that when you say, hey, it takes a, not you personally, but people are saying it takes a couple of days to do this. Well, I don't understand how it takes a couple of days to look at that video and say, we have a major problem on our hands and we should arrest this guy right away. That's the thing that sticks out to me. I don't understand how it takes that long.
Everybody that watched that video was completely, like, shocked and outraged.
Yeah.
And, you know, last time I called, I spoke to you and I, you know, we talked about the protests and the unfortunate, you know, looting and the violence and criminality that takes place typically at the end of these protests. And I actually went into Boston yesterday, last night, and I protested peacefully at the State House. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful protest. We had, I would say, there was at least 10 or 15,000 people at the State House in Common, all in solidarity, peacefully. And, you know, the protest ended around 9:30, and things clearly went downhill from there. People have to understand that there's a criminal element, and there are opportunists that take advantage of these types of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we recognize that we make the important distinction between people who are there to peacefully protest and exercise their First Amendment rights and not conflating that issue with the criminality and the looting that results.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a fair point, Austin. I really appreciate the phone call. 617-779-7937. It's a great point, and props to you for going there and protesting peacefully. And he said it, about 9:30 is when things turn ugly. And unfortunate for all the good work that the peaceful protesters are trying to do, the good message they're trying to get out there, at about 9:30 last night, everything went crazy in the city. All right, a lot more to get into. I do want to get into, you had a certain athlete in the NHL that called out Tom Brady, saying that he needs to get more involved. Plus, the NFL released a statement, and a lot of people are upset about what Roger Goodell and the NFL put out there. We'll get into all that. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
These are truly difficult times, and they're only made more difficult by national leaders who issue brutal threats instead of pulling us together. If there was ever a moment to acknowledge injustice, and more importantly, recommit our nation to eradicating it, it's right now. So I want you to know, in Boston, we are all in this together. The leaders of my team are diverse, they're from the community, and they understand the struggles that you face.
All right, that is Mayor Marty Walsh today talking about what happened last night. Brian Barrett with you till midnight, 617-779-7937. I just feel bad for the business owners. How do you think they feel right now? Because basically Governor Baker and Marty Walsh encourage people to get out there and protest. And you have business owners right now, and I understand that protesters, peaceful protesters, want to get their message out there. I understand that. I understand what's going on right now in the country and the fact that people are upset, and deservingly so and rightfully so. You should have the ability to protest. But when you have business owners that you've also been told, hey, you can't work for 3 months, and now they're going to go back to a place where their place of business has been destroyed. Where's the leadership there? Where is the leadership when it comes to that? That's something that needs to be addressed. Where is the leadership when it comes to that? Where Neil Patel's business is broken into, is looted. Where is the leadership when it pertains to that? 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike. He's in Boston. What's up, Mike?
I understand that.
Hey, Mike, turn down your radio, buddy. No, we lost Mike. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to grab Mike's line. But that's going to be the difficult part out of all this right now. And for people right now in the state where we've been one of the most conservative states in terms of opening things back up. Remember, this was one of the last states, in fact, the last state, correct me if I'm wrong, Eamon, this is the last state to open up golf courses, correct?
That was correct.
Last state to open up golf courses. You've asked, the politicians in the state have asked us to do a lot of different things in terms of being aware of everything that pertains to the coronavirus pandemic. And I understand why we need to do this to flatten the curve, et cetera. How many times have you heard that phrase over the past couple of months? We need to flatten the curve. But when you're asking people to shut down their place of work, to stop conducting business, which you know is going to hurt them financially, they're already suffering financially. People across this state are losing their jobs left and right. And when you tell people that they need to stay home and they can't open up their business, And then all of a sudden, you have protests all over the state, or I should say all over Boston last night. And you have people that have been sticking with your guidelines and using social distancing and keeping their business closed, so to speak. And now they're going to come back to a business that the windows are broken. Goods have been stolen. Things have been smashed. And they didn't deserve any of this. They didn't deserve to have their business destroyed. But when you put it out there like that and you see some of the damage that's been done across Boston and last night with the protesters, with the looters, I just feel absolutely horrible for those people. Because how much more could you ask those people to do? It's just totally unfair to them that they're now in a place right now that they are suffering not only economically, but now they have to try to rebuild their actual place of business, actual place of work, not to mention the fact that people are probably scared to be anywhere near their businesses right now if they're in the city because you're afraid that looters and rioters are going to break in. 617-779-7937, the number. Nick's in Boston. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, I just left Dorchester, the South Bay, and man, all the businesses that are just boarded up right now, it's a ghost town there, except for the police presence, because all over Twitter, people have been threatening to come over into South Bay and start looting the Target, the Home Depot, the Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And all day and at work today, I got employees telling me, hey, you know, if they break into the store, I'm going to be out of work again. And, you know,
it's horrible.
So not just the business owners, but the employees, too, who just got back to work. A lot of these people just, they aren't getting unemployment. And so coming back to work, it's paying their bills. The bills don't stop.
So, Nick, you're saying you're in or you're coming back from Dorchester right now, and that's where you see all the businesses kind of boarded up?
Yeah, South Bay Center.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call, man. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. That's what I'm talking about. I feel awful for these business owners right now across the state because that's not what you have to do. What's the alternative? To leave your business open and not board it up and risk the fact that you could get looters and rioters to go into your place of business? It really is at a position right now, or we're in a position right now in the country where the hijacking of the message that peaceful protesters are getting out there is just getting to the point where it's absolutely ridiculous. It's completely crazy to see all these businesses, and it's sad to see all these businesses across the country just being broken into. I mean, you look right now on Twitter, and you look at the Nike store in New York. It's incredible to actually see the visuals, to see the video of people just going into a store and taking things off the shelves, because that's the issue. You have opportunists all over this country that are just using this opportunity, right? They're using George Floyd's death and the peaceful protests out there to try to get their message across. They're using this opportunity for their own good, for their own well-being, to steal things, to damage property. And it's absolutely ridiculous right now. Watching that video last night from this city, from Boston, was disturbing. It was painful. It was saddening, because it's one thing when you see it happening across the country, and obviously it's illuminating, and obviously it's something that is, when you first see it, shocking, it's jarring, but to see it now happening in your own state, to see it happening in your own city, it's scary, and you feel horrendous for the people right now that have worked so hard to try to maintain a business and keep their business and pinch pennies this time. They're pinching pennies right now. People across the state, people across the country, they are pinching pennies to make sure when they open their businesses back up, they actually have a business to go back to. And last night, people across this state are finding out that, hey, the windows are broken. Oh, they stole a bunch of stuff from the store. That's what people are dealing with right now. How is that right? How is that okay? That's the issue I have right now, that the message has now been hijacked and the looters and the rioters, they've become the story. It's no longer what happened to George Floyd. The story now is all the damage that's being done across the country. The fact that people are just lighting things on fire. It is absolutely crazy. 617-779-7937 is the number. A lot more to get into. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I do want to get into a certain athlete calling out Tom Brady, saying that Brady needs to do more. Was he out of bounds? I'll tell you next right here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.